Welcome to our podcast.
If you enjoy this segment, we encourage you to check out the others. Also, if you're new to Hedgeye, you qualify for a special discount on one of our Hedgeye investing products. Email customer service director Matt Moran at mmoran@hedgeye.com. That's mmoran@hedgeye.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Macro Show for Friday, December 18th, 2020. I'm Danny New of the sales team here at Hedgeye, and today I'm joined via video by our CEO, Keith McCullough. As always, if you have any questions, please place them in the comment section below the video player, and we'll do our best to get them at the end. And with that, I'll turn it over to Keith.
Many days and months, and Jonesy Buds gets another day off today because we had our holiday party last night. And that's a party where we did it this year. Unfortunately, we had to do it virtually, and then really it was fortunately because it ended up being pretty good, right, Danny? Everybody had their cocktails going, and it was a great discussion. So,
as always,
it's usually on this day of every year. I and there have been years past where I could have a variety of issues this morning, but I feel pretty good, all things considered, and I'm ready to go. All right, top three things this morning in my notebook. Number one, going to hit on the dollar. Number two, going to hit again on China. And number three, going to hit on copper. The interesting thing here about the dollar is that, of course, it's done what we thought it was going to do, which is it was going to crash. We've been saying that for weeks, and we've been really bearish on the dollar for months and months and months, going back to June. So when you look at where you are today, I mean, every certified monkey with a banjo on CNBC knows the dollar is going down and everybody's giddy about their Bitcoin longs. Again, we're long it. I don't get giddy about things, but whether it's oil or SPY or stocks broadly, you know, this has an epic inverse correlation. Interestingly, what has the biggest super short term, again, 15 days or less correlation to the dollar is actually gold now. Now that's not trending 30. Once you get to the 90 day, you can see 90 days, which is 3 months or more, gold actually has a positive correlation of 0.37. So not exactly like raging positive, but it is what it is. So I think if you haven't shorted gold yet, you haven't done that successfully, if you haven't gotten out of it since we did going back to October, November, this would be a great spot. So I reshorted gold miners yesterday. On the other side of that, which I'll get into, has been like, plenty of longs. I mean, if you're triggered by being short gold miners, just be long copper miners. Those have gone straight up into the right. China, though, is a big signal this morning. Amongst many, I might add, there are many immediate term trade over bought signals in macro this morning, which I'll go through them when we get outside of the top three things. But there's also a big lower high here, a lower high. OK, so the first thing you know, that you should be concerned about is a lower high. The second thing is an immediate term trade signal breakdown. We only have one of those two things in China. But again, I'll call it out because this is the first day that China has signaled a lower high on a down move going all the way back to when we went bullish on China and emerging markets in June. So I'm going to move China officially to the bottom of the list of longs that we could buy in Quad 2. Don't forget that the list of longs we could buy in Quad 2 is very long. But I'm going to move it to the bottom of the list just because it has lower highs. I'd prefer to buy things that have what? Higher highs, right, in the model. And as I will, I'll model those every day. Now, what's making a higher high this morning is copper. So if you look at this, like look at this chart, Genron, going back, big check marks, you know, big check marks for the home team. You know, if you've never invested in commodities as an asset class or picked the right commodities to stay with, you know, there have been commodities I've gotten in and out of. This is not one of them to get out of. In fact, that, like I said, whether it be Freeport MacMoran or Turquoise, you know, TRQ, some of the names I own in my PA, this has been one of the biggest runs I've ever had. And I know that that's a similar comment that many of you have made to me either outright on email or on Twitter. So congratulations. Again, a huge difference versus being long gold miners, which I got out of the last of my bear gold on October the 1st. And, you know, these kinds of things like shouldn't trigger people. There's an opportunity cost to staying with something forever. You know, when that thing starts to go down and other things are going up, well, you made a bad decision, right? And you got to sit there just like any good athlete, like Danny knew. If he threw the puck up the middle to the other team and it's in the back of Providence's net, he's going to have to reflect on that. He can't go out there and go do that again, or he won't be going out there again. I mean, that's the way it plays, right, Danny? I mean, it's not, you have a choice. You have a choice to learn from your mistakes. A lot of people in investing, they don't play it like a hockey game. They think that they could just be long carrying mistakes. I mean, are you allowed to do that at the highest level of hockey?
No, you find yourself a nice, comfortable seat on the bench after one of those.
Well, coaches will let a guy make a mistake, but it's the second mistake and the third mistake that's the same mistake. Repeating the same mistakes, is it not?
Yeah, you learn from your mistakes.
At the end of the day, that's in investing, when you're in the business of marketing one way, like you're permanently bullish on these asset classes, value as a style or growth as a style. We get it. We get it. It's there's no problem with that. Just accept that that's who you are and that's what you do. Right. And if that's what you're in the business of doing, we're going to help you do that a little bit better, because, again, there are pivots that you can make outside of that. Now, today is not the day to be getting today's not the day to be buying copper in Freeport Mac brand. Like, today is the day to be feeding the ducks. Right. You got to be selling. I was selling some yesterday. I'm going to sold some TRQ into the close, and I'll probably sell a bunch more of it this morning. But again, that's just what I'm going to do. What are you going to do is the question. And those are your top three things, right? Let's just get into the wood here. As we were saying, when there was a buying opportunity, again, it's amazing what a difference a week makes. And I'd encourage you to go back and not only write it down every day, but study, you know, what did the market actually do, and global macro markets, I mean, relative to what you thought that they were going to do a week ago. That's why we do on Mondays, you know, I call it, you know, Macro Monday at Hedgeye. Like, what did we really capture this week? Well, we captured a lot of alpha. And that's because, again, consensus was mistakenly selling the lows on correction days. We had 3 days or almost four of correction in U.S. equities specifically. And you had plenty of opportunity to get long. But you don't get long here. Like, there's 0.3% upside in the S&P. You know, that level, by the way, is 37.32. So that's, you know, again, it's an all-time high. Yesterday was an all-time high. It was a trifecta. It was a trifecta for the NASDAQ, the Russell, and the S&P. Now, that's infrequent when that happens, but when all three of them happen at the same time, obviously, it means that you're a medium-term trade overbought. What else did you see within that? And so, again, today you got like 7-1 downside in the risk range, which is one of the wider ones we've had in a while. And again, that's after getting long. So you're seeing me, you know, peel it off or feed the ducks, you know, selling longs in real-time alerts, obviously, and start to add some shorts back. And that's exactly what I should be doing, because that's what the process does. It helps us go both ways. It doesn't mean I'm being bearish. It means I'm not being a pig. And there's a difference. Okay. Piggy. You don't want to be a piggy. You get too piggy, get too confident, you're going to wear it. You're going to wear some losses here. So be careful with that from the top end of the range. The other thing that's pretty stealthier this morning, which you should have noted, and that's really what's going to, if you're testing yourself in any sport or in this game in particular, you know, test yourself. Are you noticing what I'm calling out before I call it out in my Canadian accent? Are you noticing? Like, did you note this morning that the VIX is signaling a higher low for the first time? That's 20.16. Okay, so that's a higher low. Okay, did we? Okay, now look at that. China's signaling lower highs. Oil signaling overbought. Spain signaling lower highs. There's a lot going on in the notebook this morning, right? Okay, so pay attention to that. Always be paying attention. Now, the volume yesterday was okay. Now, it was up if you look at it versus the prior day and the 1 month average, because again, people were forced to chase that move. But again, it's a bull market, and we will be buying again. And again, God willing, we'll get the 2.2% correction embedded in the S&P 500. If we don't, we don't. You know, it doesn't really matter if we get all of it or not. What really matters is not calling for a 10% correction before you go up another 5 to 10% and then still try to call for a 10% correction. Like, what are you really doing there? I mean, you're just missing the move is what you're doing. So pay attention to that in as much as anything else. And if you look at the bongo board, you know, you look at all the old wall narratives. It's not just these corrections everyone was looking for. We didn't have a correction. This was one of the most epic stock market moves ever from November, when it became obvious that we were going into quad two, not only locally, but globally. Then the real rotation, remember everyone was like, oh, you got to rotate out of tech and you got to buy value. Like, that's bullshit, right? If you bought the value, like in a lot of commodity related securities, fully loaded with energy, yeah, there's a lot of value there. But being dogmatic to just a value versus growth, that means you're watching too much CNBC, right? Because what you should have rotated out of was rate sensitivity. So the only, literally, go back to that, the only column, the only thing in the second column that's red is utilities. It's moderately red, but on a relative basis for somebody that goes both ways with longs and shorts, that's been fantastic. Long copper against short gold miners, long copper miners against short gold miners, long tech against short utilities, long energy against utilities. Again, these are the days of our lives. So again, understand that there's a lot of narrative out there and there's not a lot of numbers. And that's what we want to continue to help you out with. Another higher low for cross asset class volatility. When we look at that, another higher low this morning for Treasury bond vol. So again, bond yields are higher again this morning. If you look at a chart of the 10-year yield, I mean, it's really easy to understand gold if you just understand interest rates. So look at this thing, 10-year yield. You got that chart there, Jenron, from this morning? I put a big X at the bottom of it. Yeah, there, see that? Because I want to make sure that this is about as easy as anybody can get something right. Now, you wonder why the things that we have the highest batting averages over the last 13 years, they're time stamped. I have my highest batting averages and my highest propensity probability to get something right has been in dollar and rates and in gold. Why? Because that's the most obvious thing to get right from a cycle perspective. So right where X marks the spot is where gold peaked. That's where nominal yields bottomed. And then from there, gold started going down. Then it started going down faster. And it recently bounced to a big lower high. But what is really going on here? And this is the difference between me and them. They accuse me of being a trader, a mucker with an F, a lot of different things, a lot of names. But what we're really doing here is we're teaching people that we're the longest term cycle investors. And we understand that if interest rates are rising nominally, we don't need the whole world to sit there and tell us about their break-even model going the right way at the very end of the move, or the curve steepening. This morning, the curve steepens to the steepest point it's been on 10s twos. So we get paid on our eyeball position because that's a steepener. IVOL is the ticker. We get paid on the TLT short. It's amazing to watch. I have heard crickets, nothing on our treasury position on the short side from Twitterati. But I get chirped like I don't know what I'm doing in gold any day that it's up. It's the same fucking trade. Yeah, same full cycle thing. I could be losing it here, Danny. Yeah. Moving along. We got Asia last night. We still got China. I already hit on that. Japan signals lower high. Actually, interesting. Like I said, interesting day in the notebook. Kospi, Nikkei, and Shanghai Comp all signal a lower high for the first day. We'll see if there's follow through on that. There was actually Australia, which is would probably know something about resources or the CRB index getting overbought. That was down overnight. So that's something particular that you should have noticed. Also, Malaysia down 1.3%. So again, that's a dollar trade as well that got extended. You know, Malaysia's extended when we get a question on it in the macro show. I had to say. Spain, look at Spain. Now, Spain's a creepy little critter. Yeah, that sounds like more like a snake, huh? That's like a, you know, what is it? Well, Spain is like a snake. That thing is a terrible thing to be long, going back to where we got people out of it at the end of 2017. But suspiciously, that thing, and not ironically, has started to signal a series of lower highs here in the month of December. So, yeah, okay. Got squeezed a little bit in Germany and Spain. Got out of Germany on time before the recent breakout. Now Germany's signaling overbought this morning as well. But Spain's really been a dog this month. You know, just as a dog or a snake or whatever you want. You know, if it's not your dog, it's just a dog that you don't want to be with that one, okay? So just pay attention to that. A lower high on the EBEX, which is Spain's index too. Russia down 2.2%, Poland down 1.3%. Why? Oh, because the dollar is going up. Yeah, so these dollar things are starting to move. And the last of the Mohicans to notice a dollar move like this, it's usually not me, right? It's the people that are chasing a bunch of charts that figure it out last. It's people in the U.S. equity market and in Bitcoin. Now, even Bitcoin stopped going up when the dollar stopped going down. So, again, pay attention to that. Obviously, your new risk range on Bitcoin has a 24,323 in front of it. But again, you could get down towards 20,109, which is the low end of the range, on a dollar bounce. It's more than, you know, this one's only lasted like an hour. Well, imagine it lasts for a week, a counter trend bounce in the dollar, or 2 weeks. Imagine that. I won't get any chirping on gold if that happened. What else we got going on for you this morning? We got another one. We had a question on this. Is something that, you know, there are so many different interesting little callouts on the notebook today. Notwithstanding FedEx down on good news, U.S. Steel down on good news. You know, tech making a signaling overbought. Our model completely nailed that. But lower highs on Google and Facebook. These are interesting signals, and they all, to me, Danny, they say the same thing, which is it's time to manage a little bit of risk. And to do that, a couple dirty words you have to throw in there. Short term trades you have to put on to manage some of that risk. All right, so good spot to take some questions.
Perfect. All righty. First question, John from Tampa. Hope you're enjoying the weather down there, John. Natural gas briefly went to neutral on the risk ranges, but back to bullish trend today. Prior risk range was near the low end, but now shows more toward the top of the risk range. Is this more of a trade versus a trend? Happy holidays. Can't thank you guys enough.
Yeah, the it's an interesting one. It's flipping. It's back and forth. So that one, when that happens, John, I get confused. I get confused because the signal's confused. It goes from bullish to neutral, back to bullish. It's signaling lower highs. It's got less upside. The snow hit, the weather hit, and it didn't, you know, get and confirm any kind of a breakout. And confirming a breakout would be something like natural gas showing me a risk range that widens to a higher level than where I currently have it. So that's all I think about that. I'm currently really not that excited about natural gas. To me, it could just be what we call Brownian motion, a heck of a lot of nothing. Or it could also be what it is, which is one of the many signals alongside cocoa and natural gas that commodities, again, look at the chart, guys. Look at the chart on CRB index. This thing at $165 is up on a rope, okay? That will correct. You'll note that the rest of the chart has like some down moves in there. So I think that that's part of the story as well.
Got it. All right. Next question from Dan. And XLV had a massive increase in iVol from -17% discount 1 month ago to +71% premium yesterday. How should we interpret that move?
I got some audio here. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I hear that a bit. Sounds like a cricket. I didn't know if that was you making animal noises again.
Oh, it was just, I thought that we were going to get gold as the number two question. So I just, you know, anyway. can you ask the question? It was about implied vol premiums versus where we were at?
Yeah, the question was XLV had a massive increase in iVol from negatives.
Right, yeah.
Okay, yep.
Yes, show the, apologies, I should have showed the iVol data. Yeah, so it did what it did. I don't ask questions why. It's a good observation. If XLV is at the loan of the range, that would, all those green ones, I'd buy any of them pretty much if they're a quad too long. So healthcare, by the way, isn't exactly the best place to go in quad two. So if it's what floats your boat and you want to buy healthcare, then wait till it gets the loan of the range. But an implied volatility premium like that would certainly help perpetuate the upside.
Got it.
What you'll also note on that table, and I should have called it out this morning, is utilities have an implied volatility discount, and so does energy. I mean, at the bottom there, you can see REITs and utilities, which I had short here, and in addition to energy. Energy, I think it could easily correct towards the loan of the range. It's a higher low, and it should. You know, don't forget that the energy is tethered to the dollar, and the dollar, if it bounces, you know, I would suspect that energy stocks got it right yesterday and started to front run the oil price. Don't forget, energy stocks were down a little bit on an up oil move, and that's typically signaling that oil is done going up. And the risk range would imply on oil that we got pretty close to the top end of the range there as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, newly voted top question here. Jet Lewis from Tokyo. Sir, the lower end of risk range of VIX went above 20 after staying below for a few days. How much does this change raise the probability of correction in the very near term? Thank you.
Well, it raises it. It doesn't raise it by X percent. So unlike people on Wall Street, which will make some bullshit up, like, well, it's now 22% probability that we're going to see a breakout in the VIX. I mean, that's bullshit, right? So what you want to do is basically think about it in terms of rates of change. So you noticed it, like I said at the beginning, and thanks for putting that question in the queue before I said it, is that, okay, it signaled a higher low. So that raises the probability that we get a correction. A lower low in the VIX would reduce the probability. So again, that was actually something that I was, it's not something that makes me less confused or more confused. It's just something that when I was adding shorts yesterday, I was like, wow, yeah, I got to see what volatility does after options close and what it did last night. Thankfully, is that it signaled what it did, because I was shorting stocks yesterday. I wasn't buying them generally. I mean, we signaled buy on one of them, AWI Armstrong Worldwide, which was oversold. But again, that's certainly not a household name in terms of consensus longs, and it was oversold, whereas a lot of other things were overbought. And again, broad equity beta. So in other words, you could get a move here, not just in the VIX, but like NASDAQ volatility could easily go back to 31. My risk range on NASVOL VXN is 25 to 31. RVX actually signaled a higher low yesterday, which is interesting, which is Russell volatility. So it's all saying the same thing. And it's, you know, we'll see if I get it right or wrong. But the reality is that I know why I'm making the decisions I'm making them. What percentage of people that are transacting in the uninformed volume space out there actually know why they're buying or selling today? I don't know. I don't care. I know why I'm making these decisions, and I'm happy that I did.
Got it. All righty, moving on to Colin in Munich. Just past 5 years subscribed. Thanks for everything. Well, thank you, Colin, for being a longtime subscriber. Keith, with the MS and other products, I've learned a lot about buying puts. Question, do you ever sell calls or puts within the process, or is this too much risk? For example, I'm considering selling puts on tech at the risk range low and other signals, of course. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a. I don't do a lot of that. I got a lot of other shit going on, is mainly the reason why, Danny. So, is I have to watch two different books. I have to watch mine, which I do. I do trade options, but I don't sell. I'm a buyer of options. I'm not a seller, and that's just the way that I roll. That's what makes me comfortable. And of course, I have to be paying attention to all the real time alerts that are live. So, if I had more time, if I was only executing, like just like an assassin executing on my own, single shooter in my book, no tweets, no comments, no macro show, I would absolutely be doing more in the option space, or at least, you know, trying and testing things that I'm not comfortable with. And that's one of the main reasons why I don't do it, is because I don't do it well enough to do it consistently. And to do something better consistently, as you know, Danny, you got to practice, you got to get in a lot of reps, you got to do it with real ammo, you know, with real pucks, not fake ones on Xbox. You know, you got to do it with the real stuff. And that's just the simple fact of the matter and the truth about it.
Yep, got it. Can't ride two horses with one butt, can you?
I like that, yeah.
All righty. Ray from Manchester. We're really spanning the globe this morning, aren't we? Morning, guys. Ivol plummeted on FXY from plus 48% to negative 30% in one day. Anything to do with the BOJ rates? Any implications we should be aware of? Thanks.
Well, it plummeted because FXY, the yen, ripped to the top end of its risk range. So, mm-hmm. You know, yesterday's move, and again, if you're new to doing macro, or you're integrating our process into your own and starting to see how macro affects your long short stock picking, or if all you did was buy stocks, you know, how that's affecting, you know, the probabilities rising or falling of making money in stocks. You know, a move like we saw yesterday in the Japanese yen against the dollar doesn't happen very often. It's in, I'm guessing, but it's an educated guess. It's in the 1 to 3 percentile of historical one-day moves, okay? So if you look at it for what it is, that's why you get a huge implied volatility discount. So I think that again, it's an interesting thing. If you get the dollar right, you get a lot of other things right. I didn't really have to think about the other things that he mentioned. I'm sure that had something to do with it too. But notice how I don't really have to care. You know, I don't have to tell myself why. And again, if you're not comfortable with that, I highly encourage you to read Jim Simon's book. He didn't write it himself, but the story of Renaissance Technologies, and how he basically stopped caring about the why, and he did a lot more of the doing. Okay, so that's what I see there. Again, the time to be shorting the dollar initially was back in June. The time to be pressing your bets was 2 weeks ago on the bounce. Now everybody's in on the same trade, the machine fully loaded, and there's a lot of risk associated with that, fully loaded with the yen.
Got it. All righty, Mark in Switzerland's asking, could you talk a little bit about XLE and how it looks in your opinion? After several strong weeks, it seems to have lost a little steam, even as other equities have performed well. Has anything
things that go up a lot stop going up. I mean, it's not like, I mean, it doesn't seem, it is. There's no seam, or don't use the word seam or feels or looks, or it is. Mm-hmm. It went down yesterday. It also is up. Look at the bongo board. Okay, so instead of what it seems, this isn't an optical illusion. This is what happened, right? So if you look at energy yesterday, it was down 0.47%. It's up 9% in a month. Now, on 1 month price momentum, it's got more steam than anything by a factor of more than 2. Okay, anything else on the month to date? On the quarter to date, it's got 33.79% steam. So there's a couple things that somebody, if they're going with look and feel and sounds and stuff like that, they're probably a little late to the party. Like, they didn't own energy for the big move, and now they're sitting there, oh my God, I bought it after the move. I like what Keith says about this stuff, and it's quad two. And you know, just accept that you may have bought it a little late, or you didn't buy it. You bought it a little bit too much on the way up. I mean, whatever you did. It doesn't really matter at this point. You have to deal with what you got in your portfolio this morning. And like I said, on a dollar up move, you should not expect energy to go up. In fact, of all the signals out there, I think that's the most obvious one. It's signaling a big higher low. It is this. It will be in my top three sector longs once I reload the gun. But again, I reloaded the gun, you know, a while ago on energy, and on tech in particular was more in the last week. And both, you know, I think are going to correct.
Mm-hmm. We'll go to our friends in Western Canada, Tony from Vancouver. Keith, SAMA, S-A-M-A converts today. What's the play now?
I don't know. We'll have to see what happens.
Got it.
I mean, it converts today. I mean, so it's like, what's the play? What's that mean? It converts, it de-SPACs is what the question is implying. And we'll see what it does. I mean, yesterday, another one did what it did. So you get BurgerFi, which is another one that we like. The former ticker was OPES, O-P-E-S. And Howard and I discussed that on the call for those of you that subscribed to that product. And, you know, it opened down and then it closed up or it ripped intraday. And then I don't know what it did at, into the close. It doesn't matter. The point is that we're just going to do what it does, right? You know, if SAMA decides that that catalyst was fully priced in on my signal, then I'll get rid of it. If SAMA says it's just the party's ready to get started and the top end of the range, which is closer to 14, is still in play, then we'll stay with it. That's the plan. The plan, the, you know, like I always like to say to you guys, and you've heard this way too many times, Danny, because you coach hockey with me too, you know, but I say this at HedgeEye all the time. I'm like, guys, chill. The plan is that the plan's going to change.
Yep, think got to be on the fly here. Ramadan from Toledo, Ohio. Morning, fellas. You guys have mentioned beta balancing our longs and shorts. How do you measure the beta for SPACs with not enough time series data? And do you use SPY beta on all your asset classes?
No, I don't. Definitely don't do that. You know, we model both the volatility of the stock in the case of SPACs and the betas individually. So again, you got to have, you know, when I worked at Magnetar, we used to have two betas. You had trailing or historical beta, and to the point of the question, that's a lot harder to have in something that's a relatively new issue or like a SPAC or a recent IPO. So some would then use the market beta, which is a total mistake. And then we would have this thing called Theo, or daily reports. My portfolio, it would say I'd have beta in one column, and in another column, it would be theoretical beta or Theo beta. And theoretical beta is what you're really talking about, which is trying to model it dynamically and in real time. So that's what we do. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be showing anybody any of those numbers at all, ever. A lot of people have been asking for them. It's like for like $30 a month, they want my algo that built HedgeEye. No, that's not going to happen. But I can tell you how to try to think about building it yourself, which isn't completely complicated. What I'm telling you really here is what not to do. Don't use the market TTM or trailing 12-month beta for sure, and start thinking about modeling each security on a price, volume, volatility basis individually.
Got it. Well, I think that's all we have time for today. I want to say thank you to Keith for joining us. Everyone, have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday at 9 a.m. Good luck out there.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. As a reminder, new HedgeEye subscribers may qualify for a special discount on one of our HedgeEye investing products. Email customer service director Matt Moran at mmoran@hedgeye.com. That's mmoran@hedgeye.com. This content is for informational purposes and does not constitute an offer to sell or buy any investment vehicle, nor does it constitute an investment recommendation or legal, tax, accounting, or investment advice. This information is presented without regard for individual investment preferences or risk parameters and is general, non-tailored, non-specific information. HedgeEye believes the information sources to be reliable but is not responsible for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions. The opinions expressed are those of the individual speaking. All investments entail a certain degree of risk, and financial instrument prices can fluctuate based on several factors, including those not considered in the preparation of the content. Consult your financial professional before investing. The information is protected by copyright laws and is intended solely for the use of its authorized recipient provided access by HedgeEye. Redistribution or republication is strictly prohibited and subject to the terms of service at HedgeEye.com.